This is the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach.
Thank you today for joining us again at the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. And we are delighted to come into your presence again. And we thank God for this opportunity to come before you again this day. We're excited about you. We're excited about what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. We're excited about Jesus. We're glad to be here. We pray that you will continue to pray for us as we pray for you, and that God continue to be glorified on earth as he is in heaven this day. Hallelujah. Listen, we want to just jump right into this segment for today. We pray indeed that you are being blessed by these segments, these podcasts, and we pray that you will be mindful to use them. Hallelujah. Feel free to download them and to take them, make a CD or whatever media that is best for you, be a cassette, however you can download this and however you choose to present it as a witnessing tool. Amen. This is an excellent witnessing tool, y'all. You can take this and you can download it to CD. You can make copies and you can distribute them like a tract. Amen. This is like a modern day tract. If it's a blessing to you and you want to use it to witness and to evangelize, because that is what this is all about, being about the Father's business, as we're going to get into today. Father, we thank you today, O Heavenly Father. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment in you. Father, we thank you most of all for you. We thank you for your abiding presence and the riches of your glory. We pray, Lord, now for these next few minutes, that you will take full control, that you indeed will be glorified, that the church be edified, that the devil be horrified, Lord, at that which is going on, Lord, in the belly of the beast right now. Hallelujah. We bless you today and thank you, Lord God. Glory to your name. Now, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will anoint, Lord, these words. Anoint your servant. Pour your word into your vessel, Lord, and let it overflow as living waters into the heart and soul of every soul that would have an ear to hear, to know and to understand, Lord, these foundational truths of your word. We bless you today and thank you, Lord Jesus. And we pray in your mighty name, Lord God, for in you, Lord, it is yes and amen. And we pray, O Lord God, that you will bless and be glorified this day, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name we pray and thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Today we want to talk about, if you will, for the next few minutes, we want to talk about continuing in our segments here of setting these foundational truths as we move forward in that which the Lord is giving us to present unto you for your edification. The topic for today is the nature and mission of the church. The nature and mission of the church. Amen. The principal emphasis in the New Testament is on the church as an organism. According to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, if you will observe there, Paul references and throughout Scripture in a lot of places, the church as being an organism, as being the body of Christ. Amen. The church as an organism is a living union of all true believers in Christ Jesus. Amen. Another concept of the church is that of the local church. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, where Paul talks about corporate worship in the church, coming together corporately as the body of Christ. And so that is a concept of that of the local church, or the organized church, if you will. This is a company. The church is a company of professing believers in a one locality or a group of such local assemblies. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, Galatians 1 and 2, Philippians 1 and 1. Amen. Because, you know, and we'll get into this as we go further into our time together, there is such a thing as the city church, and that movement is going forth in the world today in this very age and time that we are today, is that churches, local assemblies, or this revelation, this manifestation, this understanding, if you will, concerning this matter of local churches coming together as one body and developing a city church that moves and speaks with one accord in localities and cities throughout the world. Amen. It is taking off around the world in other places, Africa and other nations, and in South Korea and other places. And it is slowly coming to be in the United States because, you know, we're so independent. We're so single-minded thinking. And so we sort of have that democratic thing of here in the nation, and it kind of has overflowed. That mindset is overflown into the body of Christ. But you all, we have to keep in mind, and we have to remind ourselves that the church is a theocracy, and Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King of Kings. He is the head of the body, and he desires that we be as one. We be with one accord. Now, I know that there's a lot of resistance to that, this matter of oneness. And, you know, I've heard opponents talk about how, yeah, that is setting us up for this new world order and this one world government and all this other stuff, and that is a step that the Antichrist is going to take for that false church. And all that is true, that has some merit there, but nevertheless, we can't throw the baby out with the bath water, and we can't decry that matter is not the desire of Christ and of God, because you remember he prayed in his high priestly prayer in John the 17th chapter that we be as one as he is one. And that, you remember the new commandment that he command us to love one another as Christ love one another. Amen. By this will all men know that we are his, if we have love one for another. And so do we all have to come together in every city and every place under one roof? No, we don't. But we ought to be willing and able to demonstrate to the community of which is our sphere of influence that we can and do and are together with one accord. Yeah, we may have a building on this corner and a building on that corner, but the world needs to know that we can and do, and we ought to demonstrate that as often as we will and as we can. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. So, amen. The word church is a translation of a Greek word, ecclesia, and actually means called out ones. And when used of the church as the body of Christ, however, it becomes sort of a technical word referring to those called out of the world and joined together with a living union in Christ Jesus. Amen. And you remember, if you recall, in our first segment that we did entitled Becoming a Christian, we talked about this matter of, by definition, that a Christian is the anointed of the anointed one. And we talked about that matter of anointing, meaning to consecrate. Amen. To consecrate, dedicated to a sacred purpose. Hallow it. Hallelujah. To devote irrevocably to the worship of God by a solemn ceremony. And we identified that solemn ceremony on last time as being that of baptism. Amen. And so the point is, the essence of that matter of being the anointed of the anointed one, the anointing, is that we are consecrated unto God. We are dedicated unto God for a sacred purpose. That is to glorify God and to be, to do his will at all times, to obey him at all times, to worship him, to serve him, and to glorify him in all things. Amen. And so we are called out of the world. Amen. And joined together with a living union in Christ unto the glory of God. Amen. So in the plan of God, hallelujah, how many of you know God has a plan? Come on, somebody. It was necessary for Christ to come first. Amen. It was necessary for Christ to come first. And you know, that's one of the beautiful things about our Lord and our God, about God the Father. God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful to complete that which he has begun. No matter how we mess it up, and no matter how we turn here and turn there and get off the track, miss the mark, transgress, and sin against him, which is the essence of all of that, God takes our mess ups and he fixes it up for his glory. Hallelujah. He turns it, hallelujah, for his glory. Because God is faithful to perform and to complete that which he has begun. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that, he is faithful to his own name. Hallelujah. He is faithful to his own word. And when God decrees, God ordains a thing, he is faithful to complete it. Hallelujah. So in the plan of God, amen, it was necessary for Christ to come first, amen, and to die on the cross and to be buried and to be raised from the dead. Amen. This is the essence of the good news. This is the essence of the gospel message. These three elements, these three components, amen, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You may be asking, well, and I'm glad you asked, well, preacher, why these three elements? Why is the death of Christ and the burial of Christ so significant? And why is that message so important unto us and unto every soul and unto the world? It is because the message, again, that testifies and certifies and verifies the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. And the grace of God. Amen. As we talked about last week, while we were yet God's enemies, Christ came and died for us. Amen. Hallelujah. When we were yet his enemies. Amen. He could have given up on us. He could have thrown us back. Amen. Into the pit. Amen. He could have left us. He could have forsaken us. But God is faithful. Amen. And that the testimony of scriptures, again, as we said last week, Romans 5th chapter, God commended his love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so in this death, there are some principles out there, those things that we've been mentioning to you, those landmarks. Amen. There are some principles out there that we ought to get hold of. We need to get hold of. There are some things established in the Word of God that are landmarks that we ought to behold and we ought to come to know and understand. And here's one of the principles, is that without the shedding of blood, hallelujah, there is no remission of sin. There is no atonement, no remission of sin. Let me help you with this. Over in Leviticus, the principle is set forth in the Old Testament. Amen. In the law of Moses. Amen. When God gave Moses these commandments there in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, God set the stage. He painted the picture. He gave the type and he gave the principle there, that we may know and understand it. There are some things that God establishes among men that are unmovable and that we need to come to know and to understand. God have set forth these things. And when God speaks a thing, that becomes what it is. God has a meaning and purpose. God just don't say things just to be saying things. Everything God says, everything Christ says, it becomes what is. Amen. You know how often we talked about speak those things that are not as though they were? Well, you know, we're imitating God, if you want to just take that way. We're just imitating him. Not that we have the authority to speak those things that are not there though they were and actually create something. We do it by faith, believing toward God, because our faith needs to be toward God. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith has to have an object. I don't know where I'm getting off on this now, but we need to remind ourselves that faith needs an object. You hear people today talking about their faith and faith based. Well, faith in what? Faith in God. Jesus himself said, have faith in God. Hallelujah. And so faith has to have an objective. It has to have objective to point toward. Amen. So I declare to you today, I exhort you today, I admonish you to have faith in God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because every word of God is true. Jesus, that's why Jesus told the devil, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Why? Because in it is life. In life forevermore. In it is what it is. Amen. It is I am. When God said I am, that's all needed to be said, is that I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Leviticus, where was I? Leviticus 17 and 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. Amen. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Amen. Look at God, how he set the stage that we may come to know and to understand the significance of Christ when he came. And the Hebrew writer, in his admonishment to the Israeli church who had set themselves to go back to Egypt, amen, he's carefully and he diligently set forth, brought together. I love how the Hebrew writer made so beautifully, set forth these principles, brought it together to the Israeli church and Israeli believers. And when I say the Israeli church, I mean those souls that were Jews who had come to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and who, as a result, has suffered a lot of reproach and a lot of rebuke and a lot of persecution and tribulation for their faith in Christ Jesus, as we all do. Amen. Amen. But look at me in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, at the 11th verse, and listen to these words. Amen. Let them speak life into your being. Amen. But Christ, come on somebody, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Amen. Flesh and blood. Amen. Neither by the blood of bulls, of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once. Get that now. Once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the, look, listen at this, y'all. If the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And for this cause, he, that is Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, come on somebody, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Talking about us, hallelujah. Told you we're called out. We're called of God, hallelujah. God is still calling today. Thank you, Jesus. And then verse 22, here's confirmation to Leviticus 17:11. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus Christ, our Lord, came and died on that cross. Amen. Hallelujah. He died. He shed his blood. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. And because he died, he was buried. Hallelujah. Buried. You know, we don't talk about the burial. We'll talk about that second element in this gospel message much anymore. But the burial of Jesus, amen, is significant in the testimony, hallelujah, amen, of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, as unto the grace of God in Christ Jesus, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, amen. And this, as Paul says in Romans 6:3, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Come on now. Therefore, here we go. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For if we have been planted together, and when you plant something, what are you doing? You moving that dirt back, fixing that row. You are moving that dirt, and you are planting. That's the symbolism of buried. The Lord said, unless the seed of grain, of wheat, be buried, hallelujah, it shall bring forth no fruit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all help me with that. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen. And then Colossians 2 and 12. I'm giving you these scriptures that you may search them out, that they may sink into the soul, into your spirit. If you're born again and you've been quickened and born again, your spirit man is quickened. And it ought to just excite your spirit man. When you hear the truths of the word of God, it ought to motivate you. It ought to generate you. It ought to get us. It ought to stir you up. Hallelujah. The gift of life that Christ has given it us. Colossians 2 and 12. Buried with him in baptism. You see how significant baptism is? Baptism. Christ commanded that we be baptized. It's more than just going through some motions about something. There is a great miracle and testimony that takes place in baptism. Buried with him in baptism, in which also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all transgressions. Hallelujah. Do you get the picture now of the significance of water baptism? Amen. How that the mere immersion, amen, into that water is significant, and that it signifies the burial, identifying with the burial of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because I tell you today, you all, hallelujah, that the burial of Jesus Christ, there were some things going on. There were some things going on. Jesus just didn't go in the grave and just was there. Jesus, let me tell you something about our Lord. He is always busy unto the glory of God. Hallelujah. Even in his death and in his burial, God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is always about the Father's business. Hallelujah. And I believe this is the unction. I believe this is the picture and the inspiration and the revelation that Peter saw through the inspiration of God. Amen. By the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter 3rd chapter. I submit to you that by the unction of the Spirit of God, Peter saw, amen, Christ Jesus in the grave, and that he typified that thing with Noah. Amen. You, First Peter, let me just go there and just minister this matter of the burial of our Lord. First Peter, the 3rd chapter. And I know a lot of scholars look at this differently, but I'm offering it to you. I'm agreeing with Peter. Amen. Because Peter says, 1 Corinthians 3 and 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. He's not suffering no more. He suffered once. Y'all, believe me, he's not going on that cross anymore. He's not being buried anymore. And he is resurrected forever. He is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. For Christ also hath once died for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. Hallelujah. By whom also he went, come on somebody, and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, what is that prison? That prison is that thing he talked about over in Luke there. Luke, I believe, 16th chapter. Maybe we'll jump over there for a minute and talk about, because that thing is no parable. If it was a parable, the scripture would have told you so. The Lord was relating something very significant there in Luke 16. And we'll look at that in a minute. For Christ, by whom he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, who at one time were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the day of Noah. Now, let me just share something with you. Let me the figure of this, verse 20 and 21 there, testifies to the grace and to the faithfulness and to the goodness of God. Is that, I'm offering this, that Christ, amen, offered. God is a God of a second chance. And Christ went down into that pit, amen, into Hades, amen. Let's jump over Luke, the 16th chapter, and let's look at this. Jesus, our Lord, in the burial, went down into Hades, because in Luke 16th chapter 19 through the 31st verses will teach us, if we will search it out, in verse 26, it said, "And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they who would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there." So in Hades, there was this great gulf, amen, that separated those who were in Abraham's bosom, who were in paradise, because they were all, everyone had to, until Christ, who is the first fruit, amen, of all that would believe, could not be absent from the body and present with the Lord as we are today. They had to go into Abraham's bosom. It was, if you will, and I speak as a man, like a holding tank, that they were awaiting the Messiah, the Christ, to come and to do the redemptive work on Calvary, amen, and to make the way, hallelujah, that we might go unto the Father. And so those that believed God, oh, y'all got to get with me on, praise God, hallelujah. Listen, you remember the testimony of Abraham, that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Galatians 3:6, amen. That principle, that faith, amen, was bestowed upon, and all that, and I submit to you that this was the essence of what Peter was testifying to from Noah, hallelujah, and maybe even before, amen, hallelujah. But Peter saw Noah, who the Bible says that found grace, amen, in the sight of God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, that, and Abraham being, the father of our faith, amen, is why it was the Lord our God in Luke 16 referred to that place as Abraham's bosom. Amen. As Abraham's bosom, and that in Luke 16:29, that conversation went on with the rich man and Abraham, because all that believed God and that it was counted to them for righteousness went to Abraham's bosom, awaiting for a Messiah to come when they died. Amen. And this is important, the significance of the burial, that Christ literally, amen, went down into the pit, went down into Hades, and he preached. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the Lord said that he made captivity captive. Come on, somebody. Amen. The Lord went down and preached. Amen. Because God, being a good God that he is, and God of a second chance, Jesus went down and preached to all the souls that had gone on before that day. Again, let me put this in your spirit. Maybe this will quicken. God be glorified in this as we drop this bit of revelation. Let me just share with you. And y'all take this and y'all search this thing out. Romans the 5th chapter. And I just want to read there in the 13th verse, that thing that's in parenthesis, what the Apostle Paul said on the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the inspiration of God. "For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law." Amen. Come on. "From death, nevertheless," verse 14, "death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, first Adam, many are dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, the last Adam," hallelujah, I'm inserting that, "hath abounded unto many." Amen. "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's out of parentheses there. Paul wanted to affirm that, which he has stated in verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I want to keep that before you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, amen, even though death reigned and all died and all had to go to the grave, amen, in that, and that is the beauty of the picture of Luke's 16th chapter. Our Lord Jesus is letting us know, is telling us the picture there of what had taken place, that God is faithful, that even this matter of believing God and accounting it to us as righteousness, accounting it as unto Abraham as unto righteousness, God being no respecter of persons, endowed that to all that believed God, hallelujah, that believed God unto righteousness. And so all that died in that believing of God went forth to Abraham's bosom until the time of Messiah had come, amen, and to redeem them, amen, and being the first fruits unto the resurrection of those unto life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so the burial of Jesus is significant. There are some things that went on, hallelujah, on those 3 days. You don't hear me? Amen. Our Lord was about the Father's business. Amen. And he emerged, hallelujah, amen, in the resurrection. Amen. With all authority, all power in his hand. And he held the keys of death and hell. Amen. He, our Lord, amen, has been raised from the dead. Amen. Paul said it's like this, the third element of the gospel message, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Is that 1 Corinthians 15 and 20 and 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. Of them that slept. Amen. And we talked about that. For since by man came death, by man, and there's that principle again, that one man, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. But every man in his own order. And I submit to you, that was the order. The order was, is that before Christ, all had to go into Hades. And there was the good side of Hades, and there was the bad side of Hades. And that was the testimony of Luke 16, is that the rich man went to the bad side of Hades. Why? Because he believed not. Amen. But Lazarus there, the poor man, amen, who was eating at the crumbs of his table, amen, the dogs licked his wounds, amen, he went to Abraham's bosom. Hallelujah. Amen. But Christ, hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 23. Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, y'all, we have this message. We have, hallelujah, this message. In the plan of God, it was necessary that these come to pass. This matter concerning Messiah, the Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The anointed one. Now, with the advent of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost. Now, it was possible for God to fulfill his purpose of having a special company of believers. Hallelujah. Disregarding the distinction between Israel and the Gentiles, and having their own place in the eternal purpose of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because God always does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is always faithful. God, hallelujah, who will give his glory to none other. God always does exceedingly. God has now exceeded that which was in the first Adam and has now gone all beyond of what we can ask or think in Christ Jesus. Amen. And thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians, the second chapter, says it's something like this. Amen. Let's help build this principle in this picture here. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 10. You remember last week we talked about how that the salvation was in every way a work of God on behalf of man, and in no way a work of man on behalf of God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, that is, Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Hallelujah. Amen. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So making peace. And that he might reconcile. That, you remember, we defined that matter, reconciling, of changing from one's enemy to one's friend, that he might reconcile, amen, to set into order, amen, to make right again, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain, how are you talking about the work of Jesus on the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Ah, glory to God, glory to God. And came and preached peace to you who were afar off, that's you and me, hallelujah, who are Gentiles, amen. And to them that were near, that is to you, my Jewish friend, hallelujah, my Israeli friend, hallelujah, hallelujah, my Israeli counterpart, hallelujah, in the kingdom of God. For through him, if you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet, amen, and have become this new man in Christ Jesus, and we pray you will hear and consider. Oh, Holy Spirit, let your word go forth. Oh, Lord, cause them and draw them near, I pray. Hallelujah. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Amen. Amen. And so, God fulfilled that purpose. Amen. So now the church of God refers not to the membership of organized churches, but to the whole company of the redeemed who will have been saved in this present age, in this age that we are right now. Amen. In this age called the church age, or the age of grace. Hallelujah. Where God's unmerited favor, amen, is manifest among all men in this present age. Amen. The church, this company of the redeemed, they are a distinct people because, A, all individuals in that company being born again enter the kingdom of God, John 3:5, and are destined to be conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. B, they are no longer in Adam partaking of the ruin of the old creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, but are in Christ partaking in the new creation of all that Christ is in his resurrection life and glory. Ephesians 1:3, Colossians 2:10. See, in the sight of God, their nationality is changed, for they have come upon new ground where there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Matter of fact, Paul said in Galatians, 3rd chapter, there's neither bond nor free. There's neither servant, slave, or a free man. And there's neither male nor female, because we are all a new man created in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to get into that. We're going to see this thing as it is from God's eyes and not through our eyes, from that of the last Adam and not of the first Adam. Hallelujah. But Christ is all in all. Colossians 3:3. And all their promises, their possessions and their position are heavenly. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. By so much, this heavenly people are distinguished from all other people of the earth. On the earth, the church is seen to be a pilgrim band of witnesses. They are not of this world, even as Christ is not of this world. John 17:16. And as the Father has sent the Son into the world, so has the Son sent these witnesses into the world. As to what they really are through riches of grace, it does not yet appear. Colossians 3:4. 1 John 3:2. Being the heavenly people in contrast with Israel, the earthly people, the church, glorified in the realization of her divine purpose, is seen in heaven where she appears as the bride of the Lamb, co-reigning with the King, and partaker forever in the glory of the eternal Son of God. In heaven, the church will eternally be the illustration of what the grace of God can do. Ephesians 2:7. Church, every time the angels of heaven, every time the host of heaven, every time the remnant, amen, of the nation of Israel, every time the tribulation saints, every time the occupants of heaven, every time, amen, they look at us in heaven, the church, they will be reminded once and for all, amen, of the grace of God, hallelujah, of the love of God. We will stand eternally forever as that symbol, as that witness before the host of heaven concerning the grace of God. God's unfathomable, immeasurable riches of God's grace, amen, will be typified, will be shown through us. We will be his glory. Hallelujah. Concerning this matter of the grace of God. Oh, glory to God. The divine commission of the church is given. Y'all hold on to your Bibles now. The divine commission of the church is given to individual believers rather than to the corporate body. Stay with me. The present divine purpose of this age is not the conversion of the world, but rather the calling out. Remember, we define the church as the call out world. The calling out from the world, those who will believe in Christ, to form the body of Christ, which is the church. Amen. The immediate purpose of God is not the correction of evil in the world. Amen. God is going to take care of the evil in the world. Amen. He's going to deal with, you know, people ask, well, if there's a God, why did he? God is going to take care of that. Don't think just because people die and that people have gotten away with something. No. Now, God say, fear God. The Lord said, fear God who can destroy your soul and your body in hell. He can reach in hell and grab you out of it if he need to. So don't think just because folk die that they're getting away with something. No. But God is going to deal with that. Amen. Amen. The immediate purpose of God is not the correction of evil in the world, but the outcalling of all who will believe. That's God's focus right now, y'all. Church, we ought not forget that. Amen. Israel's covenants will yet be fulfilled. Why? Because as we've been, Romans 11:27, as we've been saying, God is faithful. God is faithful to his own name. Amen. To his own word. He will fulfill all that he's promised unto Israel. Amen. The covenants, amen, that God had made with it would be fulfilled. And evil will be banished from the earth. Revelation 21:1. God is going to take care. Don't worry about that. God is going to take care of his business. Amen. But the present purpose of God, for which all else evidently waits, is the completion of the church. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. We need to get busy about witnessing for God and being about that particular focus, amen, as the body of Christ. The essence of this study is that in this present age, never is the individual believer, much less the church, appointed of God to a world improvement program, y'all. God, and that's all good. Listen, there's nothing wrong with these philanthropical and good things, but they need to be a result of our love and our compassion of God as a result of caring for the souls that God have created and made. They need to be a result of that, not the first priority. Amen. The first priority, amen, is that the believer should be focused on to be a witness in all the world to Christ and his saving grace. And through this ministry of gospel preaching, the Spirit of God will accomplish the supreme purpose in this age. Again, to call out from the world such as should be saved. Hallelujah. The believer's ministry of soul winning and edification of the body of Christ continues not forever. Stay with me. But till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4 and 13. The stature here of the fullness of Christ does not refer to the development of Christ like man, but rather to the development of the body of Christ to its completion. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. The same aspect of truth is restated in Ephesians 4, 16, where the members of the body, like living cells in the human body, are represented as being unceasingly active in soul winning and are thereby making increase of the body. Hallelujah. Now, in conclusion, this ministry rests upon every believer alike and may be exercised in many ways, you all. One, the gospel may be presented to the unsaved through sacrificial gifts. Evidently, there are many earnest believers who would rejoice to win a soul for Christ who have not awakened to the effectiveness of giving their substance to this end. The messenger cannot go except he be sent, but the one who sends him is a partner in the service and has taken stock, which will pay eternal dividends. Hallelujah. That's the economy of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's the operation of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's the administration of the kingdom of God. That's the government of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. In this age is to win souls and to make them disciples of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the gospel may be presented to the unsaved in an answer to prayer. Few people seem to realize that souls are saved through prayer. Hallelujah. When Jesus said in John 14 and 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He meant it. Hallelujah. And when you get a chance, I want you to look at that parable that the Lord gave. You remember in Luke 11th chapter when the disciples asked him to teach him how to pray and he gave them the model prayer there. Look at that parable that he gave them immediately after that in Luke 11, 5 through 13. What's the essence of that? Amen. What did the Lord say? He talked about importunate. We ought to be importunate, y'all. We ought to be shameless. We ought to be instant. That's what it means when it says be instant in season. Be importunate. Be shameless. Be irksome. Be inconvenient. Amen. About the witness and the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do it when you don't want to do it. Do it when you don't feel like doing it. Do it when you want to do it. Amen. Be importunate about it. Be shameless about it. Amen. Because it is a soul that is at stake. Amen. Amen. It ought to be. When we go before God in prayer, amen. Amen. When I ask God for stuff, when I ask him for things, a job, I may ask him one time and I'm through with it. Amen. But when we pray for souls, when we pray that concerning a soul of a person, amen, a soul is a terrible thing to waste, amen. When we pray for that person's salvation, for that person's deliverance, for that person's to be drawn unto God, amen, we ought to pray fervently unto God. We ought to pray effectively unto God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Till we see a result, we ought to so let's cover them in prayer, amen. And that God, amen, be glorified, amen. Never underestimate the power of your prayer concerning one's soul, one's salvation, amen, amen. Thirdly, the gospel may be presented to the unsaved by word of mouth, amen, amen. When all else fails, we may actually have to say something. Glory to God. There are certain conditions that must be observed in order to accomplish this task. A, the messenger must be willing to be placed where the Spirit wills. B, the messenger should be instructed, amen, as to the precise truths which constitute the gospel of grace, which he has appointed to declare. Again, one of the purposes and one of the focuses and one of the motives of this ministry, amen, is to establish these and to root and ground these truths, these precepts, these principles, these statutes, amen, unto you, the hearer, that we may propagate this thing, that we may see sown, hallelujah, in the natural. We are commanded of God and charged by God to propagate this gospel. Amen. Amen. See, and importantly, the messenger must be spirit-filled, else he will lack that impelling passion for the lost, which alone prompts one to fearless, and as we said, importunate, fearless, shameless, and tireless soul-winning service. Hallelujah. Acts 1 and 8. Without this feeling, you won't really desire to witness. Amen. The gospel may also be presented by various mechanical means, such as literature, the radio, television, the internet now, and sacred music. Amen. And this podcast, amen, is another one of these mechanical means that God has set before us that we are using for his glory. Amen. Amen. And I pray that you will be quickened in your innovativeness and your creativity to come up with other means that the Holy Spirit may be giving you. And take this, amen, whatever the Lord, amen, Holy Spirit puts at your disposal, we should use as tools, amen, to witness this truth. Amen. And that is, again, at the heart of the purpose of this effort, this work, amen, unto the glory of God. But regardless of how it is presented, here's the thing, regardless of how it is presented, the truth of the gospel must be presented in such a way that the Holy Spirit can use it, y'all. That's it in a nutshell. You know, I'm of that 50s generation, that what they call it, baby boomer thing, you know, and I grew up with a certain type and style of music, and studies have proven that whatever music or type of music you're accustomed to, by the time you reach age 21 or 25 or something like that, you are hardly receptive to any other type of music out there. And I said that to say that I'm not with the rap thing. I'm not with the hip hop thing. I'm not with the gangsta gospel, whatever they call it, that thing out there nowadays. But nevertheless, there's some that are. But listen, whether it's that or whether whatever it may be, when it comes to the things of God and the kingdom of God and the witness of God in this world, there's one thing that, whether it be dance or whether it be song or whether it be a video, audio presentation, there's one thing, y'all hear me well, that is required, that must be, and that is that the Holy Spirit can use it unto the glory of God. And so whatever your endeavor is, or whatever your means you may be using, always measure that with that one question. Can what we're doing be used by the Holy Ghost? Will the Holy Spirit use it? Can he use it? Because believe me, if it's sensual, if it's carnal, if it's fleshly, he cannot, he will not use it unto the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm out of time. Again, I have enjoyed being with you all this day. I pray that this broadcast will be used for the glory of God. I pray it was a blessing to you. Listen, we want to hear from you. Please, you know, reach out to us. Get in touch with us. Thank you very much. And thank God for you, and I appreciate you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your word. We thank you for you. Father, we bless and praise you, Lord. We pray, Lord, indeed, Lord, that this word will go out, Lord God, and it will not return void, but that it would accomplish all that you have purposed it to do, Lord, in this age and in the age to come, Lord. Set it, Lord, I pray, by faith. I see it by faith entering, Lord, and being broadcast and being cast out, Lord, as the seed of your word, Lord, and to the four corners of the world, Lord. I pray every brother and sister in Christ who agrees, Lord, with this word, with this work, Lord, will take it, Lord, and scatter it throughout the four corners of the earth, Lord. Draw, Holy Spirit. men and women, boys and girls, this generation. Draw them to this site, Lord. Draw them to this work, Lord, we pray. Let this truth permeate their spirit, man, I pray. Let it permeate their heart and their soul, Lord, that they may hear and obey and do according to your will, that you may be glorified, Father, that the church may be edified. Oh, Lord, that the devil may be horrified, we pray, Lord. For your glory, we pray, Lord. Father, we love you and bless you and thank you. And in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your many blessings, seen and unseen, Lord, because we cast these words out, oh, Lord, by faith, Lord, believing in receiving, Lord, unto you, Father. For faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let them hear, Lord God. We pray, Lord Jesus, and thank you, Lord God. Amen and amen. God bless y'all. We'll see you next time. Until then, God richly bless you, my brothers and sisters.
You've been listening to The Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. This program is made possible by the grace of God through the faithfulness of the partners and friends of Lodestar Ministries and the contributions of listeners like you.